Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. We want to take a quick look at the weather now.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg is 72 degrees, downtown 70 degrees, Anderson 72, Clemson 71. Today mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Patchy fog this morning, chance of showers and thunderstorms, humid with highs in the mid-80s, and chance of rain is 30%.
Well, lots of interesting things going on over the weekend and, of course, this new work week. We're glad you joined us for another edition of Christian Worldview today, hoping we can help you think a little bit better. This thing about the Greenville, that came out in the Greenville Journal here about this expelled Eastside high school student is very interesting. She says she sees her life crumble, then rebound, lost faith. Allison Struther, who was expelled from Eastside High School 3 years ago, said she no longer trusts the public school system. This is another time where we can rejoice, folks. Someone was expelled from the public school system. Why do we rejoice about that? Because it means that that person no longer suffered indoctrination at the hand of the Government Indoctrination Center or the Pagan Seminary. Gary Hindman writes, Allison Struther was once an honor student, a Beta Club member, an Eastside High volleyball player. Then she was expelled for bringing a knife to school, forced to attend a private school where she knew no one. Her grades dropped and she lost her membership in the National Honor Society. But now, even though an appeals court recently ruled that the Greenville County School District acted properly in expelling her, Struther's life is on the mend. She's about to start her sophomore year at the University of South Carolina, studying political science and business administration, and she wants to be a lawyer like her grandfather, an appellate court judge in Florida, and to stand up for people like her whose rights she believes have been trampled. To some, Struther believes... Struther serves as an example that a zero-tolerance rules passed by school districts in the wake of school shootings across the nation apply to everyone, but to others she was the victim of a system out of control and flexible to the point of being ridiculous. She was 16 in November 2002 and taking all advanced placement and honors courses. She was a debater and had organized a delegation to attend the annual youth government convention, which teaches high school students about civics. In preparation, she arranged for an after-school meeting of her fellow delegates in the library to make buttons for her campaign for Attorney General at the event. The buttons were made of hard foam. She tried unsuccessfully to cut material with a pair of scissors at home the night before. The foam went all over the room, she said. She recalled it was a disaster. Struther found that a serrated cutting knife from the family kitchen worked better. She took the knife with her to school the next day. That afternoon, it was confiscated by the librarian and reported it to the school administrator in keeping with the district policy. Struther and the students handling the knife were suspended for 7 days, pending an expulsion hearing. At first, Struther dismissed the suspension as absurd. Her father, Ed, laughed when he was told he expected reason, coupled with his daughter's solid citizenship and outstanding academic work to prevail. Instead, the school principal, again, following district guidelines, recommended expulsion for the remainder of the 2002-2003 academic year, and Dr. Don Dempsey, the district's honoring officer, upheld it. It was an absolute shock, said Struther. So what do I do now? She asked her family. The girl then had to suffer with bouts of depression and grief because of this. She should have been rejoicing. And now she's going to be better because she didn't attend the Government Indoctrination Center for those 3 years. But at the time, it was a lot of grief for her. It wasn't something that she enjoyed. It was unpleasant because of the insanity that goes on in government school systems on this side of the ring and the other. In fact, the whole thing is a circus of ridicule. The whole thing is the indoctrination of kids. The whole thing has to do with tearing down the principles that we hold dear in this country and the upholding of nonsense This is just a small case of nonsense compared to other things. Anyway, the woman is now a complete enemy of the public school system. Wonderful thing that's happened to her. We're very pleased that she was expelled, even though it was hard for her to go through emotionally and so forth. And we're hoping that other people, too, have become enemies of the public school system on account of its very radical and ridiculous nature. Anyway, this is an interesting story for us, folks. We always like to rejoice anytime someone gets out of having to be in the public school, whether they're forced out by the public school system themselves or whether their parents come to realize that homeschooling is the best choice. We're pleased to see it happen. Well, here's something else that's interesting in the news today. Before I tell you about this, let me remind you our phone numbers are 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. We're glad to take your phone calls this morning on our backup line, 864-201-6955 as well. 864-201-6955. Everything we announce here on the show is available at tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. Go to those websites, folks, our website at the Tyranny Response Network, and all the announcements, the details, phone numbers, and so forth, you'll hear them there, as well as some audio files, important things about public policy theology, things that we hold dear, near and dear, and the Tyranny Response Network, and especially Christian Worldview, are located there. In the afternoon, folks, don't forget, you have a new show starting at 4:30 to 6. Rip and Richie's Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse will be occurring that time, and it has been for the entire past week with some success. We hope that it even has more success. We hope that Richie finally got his phone working this weekend. For some reason, the phone stopped working and callers couldn't get through to him. But we hope that that will be changing here today. So don't forget to tune in to Rip and Richie on your way home from work today. Now here's the other story I was mentioning. And we fight among ourselves while this is going on. Go through the attachments in order. This is only a bit of what they have on us. This is with my friend's vintage computer. The military ones now operate at 35 terahertz. That's 10,000 times faster than yours. When I went to study at ITT Aerospace, Fort Wayne, Indiana, in 1971, I was studying old equipment counting at 400 megahertz. It was about the size of a large chocolate box. They had one experimental operating at 1.2 gigahertz, the size of a cigarette packet. The 400 megahertz one hit the civilian market in 1985, 14 years after the military had it, the old scanner. The infrared can pick up a decomposing body buried at 1 meter after 6 months in the ground. The electromagnetic medic can pick up metal objects down to 10 meters. The radar imaging shows every wire, nail, and appliance in a house. Infrared people don't have clothes because clothes or cloth does not generate heat, skin does. Using the color spectrum, the secret plantations of dope show up as gray-green patches. The tractor axles, gunners, buried in plastic tubing after the advent of Howard's Guns Law, 1996, show up like sore thumbs. Every label of government, federal, state, and local, has this technology, only better than these poor efforts. Every windmill, bore, and dam is clearly mapped. When the government demand you declare your tapping of underground water, they already know it's a trap where fines of $40,000 for noncompliance. Every shed and carport will be built without council approval is a trap. The agenda that every deed of sale will have a declaration that all additions, plumbing, and sewer changes are approved. A false declaration of $40,000 or jail. No sale will go through until you make application for the retrospective approval and have the work brought up to standard and have a job inspected at your expense. That's the good news. Now, will you spread this so all citizens know how Big Brother is watching you and me? This is A.R. Tony Pitts from Maryborough, Queensland? I think it's Queensland. Looks like Queensland. Must be an Australian. And this is, the title of this is Info, Privacy, or Not? The subject of privacy. And that was sent to us by Reb Sutherland, former Libertarian Senate candidate. Wanted to remind us that there is a problem in the world today, that Big Brother is watching you. This is interesting stuff. I don't know how much they expend on individual citizens, but it is interesting to know that they may have that kind of surveillance power. Have to say so. I'd like to know more about that. If you know more about it, give us a call here at Christian Worldview. We'd like to know more about these high-tech surveillance systems and what Tony Pitt Tony Pitt from Australia is saying about privacy is true or not. Canada is not a country, but a platform for world genocide, is another one forwarded to us by Reb Sutherland. Considering at one time Canada and the U.S. were once British colony, has to wonder whatever happened to Canada. Canada has never been a nation under international law, the law of nations. The British that just amalgamated four colonies, created it as ships in the British Marine and governed under the British Board of Trade into a colony called Canada. The law of nations states that people in the landmass must come together from government and create institutions and constitution. This never happened. The contingent from Quebec Conference of 1864 that went to London, England, 1866, were totally shut out of the process of creating the British North America Act. It was officers of the Colonial Office and the UK MP. Further, the contingent trade made up of lawyers that all had taken the oath to Temple Bar, the city, and thus were made to bow to their banker master's wishes, of which every lawyer today must do who is connected with the Bar Association. All right, now I'm not sure, this is not making any sense to me here. What in the world is she talking about? If somebody knows, let us know, please. Canada is not a country, but a platform for world genocide. What is all this talk, then, about Canada and its lawyers kowtowing to bankers? Well, I'd like to know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Then they're going to go on and talk about some opportunity for genocide they have on account of all this and the Illuminati. Now, not being an expert in conspiracy theory, I can't really comment on these things, as I should, perhaps, but Reb Sutherland thought that was pretty important to forward to me. I have no idea what she's talking about. I wonder if anybody else does. Maybe this is one reason she didn't get elected or even as many votes as Pat Tindall, the Constitution Party candidate, did. I don't know. But I would like to find out more about the Illuminati and the Canadian link through lawyers and bankers and so forth. Someone interpret, please. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Did you all hear about the tragedy that happened on the weekend? Fresno, California, lightning struck a group of Boy Scouts taking shelter from a storm, killing the troop leader and a 13-year-old boy in the latest tragedy to befall the organization this week, authorities said. The teen, Ryan Collins, died Friday night at the University Medical Center in Fresno, and said hospital spokeswoman Mary Lisa Russell. He had been kept alive for a day on ventilator so his organs could be donated, his family said. Assistant Scoutmaster Steve McCullough, 29, was killed instantly when the bolt made a direct strike on the tarp the scouts had been set up in a meadow in Sequoia National Park on Thursday, the coroner's office said. He didn't even make it off the mountain, said Sue Collins, the boy's mother, crying along with her husband and younger son at the hospital. It's horrible. It's a fluke. Six others were injured. The lightning strike came just days after four scout leaders were electrocuted while putting up a tent at the National Scout Jamboree in Virginia. Dozens of scouts were sickened by the stifling heat 2 days later at the Jamboree. Well, I'll tell you, this is a tragedy. What an awful thing. I've got four boys in scouts. One just finished his Eagle Scout. In fact, he's having his quarter of honor for Eagle Scout presentation this evening. August the 1st today, isn't it? It is the first day of August, isn't it? And the other three, I got a couple of Life Scouts and one just starting out in the scouting ranks, and it's a great organization. We're happy to be supportive of scouting, and I think that the Christian worldview is advanced through scouting, at least in our troop. I'm not sure why the Lord sees fit to do such things, but in His kind providence, He has seen fit to do so. And how can we question what He does? But still, we mourn and grieve for those who suffer these kinds of losses, and it seems such a tragedy that such a thing would occur. You know, I mean, there are times where we get imprecatory, don't we? We think, why did this happen to a Boy Scout leader and a Boy Scout when it didn't, you know, hit Dianne Feinstein or Ted Kennedy or something? You know, I mean, if somebody's gonna be picked, you'd wonder, well, why doesn't it get somebody like that? Well, you know, in the providence of God, He determines the lifespan of the wicked and the lifespan of the just, the lifespan of the innocent and the lifespan of the guilty, and He determines what is best for not only for His church but for His own glory. And although it's hard for us to see why certain events happen, we who hold the Christian worldview have to be content with all things that come to pass and believe that God is in control of everything. But Dr. Coburn, does that mean God was in charge of the Jews or being killed, or the kulaks being killed in the Ukraine, or the World Trade Center being hit, or Hiroshima, the bomb falling there, or the firebombing of Tokyo happening? And yes, all those things are under the control and care of God Himself. There is nothing outside of the control of the sovereign God. That's just what the Bible says. Our God is in heaven, and He does what He pleases. He doesn't twiddle His thumb. The Christian worldview is not one in which God is abstracted from the world and twiddles His thumbs or anxiously wrings His hands as He looks upon history, not wondering where it'll end up or where it will go. But He is, in fact, the one who controls every detail of history from start to finish. He even has control over evil things that go on in the world, believe it or not, because that's what the Bible teaches. That is part of the Christian worldview, the providential nature of our loving and just Lord. Why He does certain things, we don't necessarily know. But we do know that God is just, and He does all things according to His purpose and according to His glory, to make Him give Himself the greatest glory, and to sanctify His church, whom He loves so dearly. So, tragedy, yes, indeed, from a human perspective, from God's perspective, still part of the plan, believe it or not, because that's what the Scripture says. Here's Jimmy Carter stepping up and saying the Iraq war is unjust. Birmingham, England, former President Jimmy Carter said Saturday the detention of terror suspects at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base was an embarrassment and has given extremists an excuse to attack the United States. Carter also criticized the U.S.-led war in Iraq as unnecessary and unjust, I think what's going on in Guantanamo Bay and other places is a disgrace to the USA, he told news conference at the Baptist World Alliance Centenary Conference in Birmingham, England. I wouldn't say it's the cause of terrorism, but it has given impetus and excuses to potential terrorists to lash out at our country and justify their despicable acts. Carter said, however, that terrorist attacks could not be justified and that while Guantanamo Bay may be an aggravating factor, it's not the basis of terrorism. Critics said President Bush administration have long accused the U.S. government of unjustly detaining terrorist suspects at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base on the southeast tip of Cuba. Hundreds of men have been held indefinitely at the prison without charge or access to lawyers. What has happened at Guantanamo Bay does not represent the will of the American people, Carter said. I'm embarrassed about it. I think it's wrong. I think it does give terrorists an unwarranted excuse to use despicable means to hurt people. Carter, who won the 2002 Nobel Peace Prize, has been an outspoken critic of the Iraq War, and for good reason. Not because just because he's a liberal doesn't mean he doesn't get something right once in a while. In fact, Jimmy Carter is not near as much a liberal as the modern day liberals we have. In fact, looking back at Carter, it seems like he's almost conservative compared to the likes of Barbara Boxer or Hillary Clinton. But be that as it may, he certainly got it right about the unjust war in Iraq. I see no way we can justify that the Iraqi conflict is a war of self-defense. It almost seems like Big Brother got a splinter in his finger on account of Saddam Hussein and Daddy Bush. And then when his son came to power, the family feud continues as they go on an attack Saddam Hussein's way. And they got him on trial now, of course. In the meantime, tens of thousands of innocent people have been killed. Here's the Uncommon Dissent Forum. Scientists who find Darwinism unconvincing, you're invited to hear a leading scientist present the latest evidence regarding Darwin's speculations. And here's a direct quote they put on the flyer from Charles Darwin. I'm quite conscious that my speculations are beyond the bounds of true science. That's a great quote, isn't it, from Darwin? Even he says they're speculations. This is going to occur this weekend, folks, August 4th, 5th, and 6th, starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Palmetto Expo Center in Greenville. You're going to hear lecturers like Michael Behe, John Campbell, Jonathan Wells, Thomas Woodward. It's going to be a great time. $125 unless you're a teacher or a student. It's $115. Space is limited. If you want to attend, call 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Remember, all of our announcements are at tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, including the important events of the upstate. I'm going to just checking to see if Rip and Richie has updated the calendar, and I see that he has not. At some point, Rip and Richie will be updating our calendar. He's probably so busy with his new show, which occurs from 4:30 to 6. Hope that you'll be able to tune in this afternoon and listen to the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse with Rip and Richie. Any rate, all the local events will be on the schedule in the calendar on the tyrannyresponse.com website under the events tab. Hope you'll have a chance to check it out. There we have events including the Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing Conference, the Greenville County Libertarian Party, both of which we've just read their announcements, the South Carolina Constitution Party, the Institute on the Constitution occurring up in Pickens this month, Americans for Constitutional Government meeting on the fourth Monday of this month, Greenville County Taxpayers the fourth Thursday, League of the South third Thursday, same night as the Constitution Party meeting, and this week the Carolina Patriots meet from 12:30 to 3 p.m. at the Prime Sirloin across from the Greenville Mall. That's the first Saturday of the month, which will be this coming Saturday. Hope you can attend that as well. Be involved in the upstate. Christians are called to transform their world. Be involved with politics if you can, or at least with some things promoting the Christian worldview, such as the Darwinism Conference coming up, the Uncommon Dissent Forum. Hope that you'll be able to gain from those things and be a part of changing your world. It's more than just going to church and preaching the way to salvation through Christ. Of course, we confess both of those things as being important. But a Christian's duty doesn't stop there. It's not a Sunday morning event or a Sunday event or even a Sunday and Wednesday night event. It's all of life being transformed by the gospel, including the way you vote, the way you think about public policy, the way you're engaging your culture. These are things that we must be careful to support and to discuss with candor, because so many people today are not that interested in promoting the true Christian worldview as set forth from the beginning in Genesis 1:27 by God, to have dominion over all things in the world. Well, here's a quick article from Walter Williams, my former professor and somebody I admire greatly. Actually, this was last week's article, but it was so good I wanted to read it. Slavery reparations. The slavery reparations shakedown lobby is gearing up for attacks on American industry. They failed in the courts and Congress, so they're going after weak-kneed CEOs. At the NAACP's recent annual convention, Dennis C. Hayes, its interim president, said, "Absolutely, we will be pursuing reparations from companies that have historical ties to slavery and engaging all parties to come to the table." According to Mr. Hayes, many of the problems we have now, including poverty, disparities in health care, and incarceration, can be directly tied to slavery. Part of the reparations lobby agenda is to pressure cities into enact laws requiring that companies that wish to do business with the city to complete studies to see whether they had ties to slavery. They've been successful in getting such legislation enacted in Philadelphia and Chicago. CEOs at J.P. Morgan Chase Bank and Wachovia Corporation have apologized for their predecessors' ties to slavery and agreed to be shaken down for several million dollars to fund scholarships and black history programs. Mr. Hayes's reparation visits vision strains credulity and is counterproductive to boot. Most black Americans are neither poor nor in prison, so if poverty and incarceration are directly tied to slavery, Mr. Hayes might explain how so many blacks somehow escaped the legacy of slavery. For those blacks in poverty or incarcerated, what's Mr. Hayes' message to them? Is it to wait for CEOs to forego over some reparations change and apologize for slavery? If that's their message, then those blacks who are poorer are going to remain so, and those who are lawless will continue to experience high incarceration rates. I think a better message for avoiding long-term poverty and high incarceration rates is graduate from high school. Get married before you have children and stay married. Work at any kind of job, even one that starts out paying the minimum wage. Finally, do not engage in criminal behavior. That makes some good sense, doesn't it? Walter has it right there. The recent phase of the reparations movement contains a very interesting twist. Reverend Wayne Perryman, a conservative minister of Mount Calvary, Calvary Christian Center of God in Christ in Seattle, Washington, has filed a lawsuit against the Democratic Party. His lawsuit, filed in the United States District Court in Seattle, charges that because of their racist past practices, the Democrat Party should be required to pay African Americans reparations. Reverend Perryman's brief, citing abundant historical evidence, charges that the past racist policies and practices that were initiated against blacks by the Democratic Party were no different than the policies and practices that were initiated by the Nazi Party against the Jews. Brian DeBose's Washington Times, July 12th article, the NAACP to target private business, describing events at the NAACP convention, didn't report on whether the NAACP of black politicians and black politicians present intended to support Reverend Perryman's illegal actions against the Democratic Party. What are we to make of corporate CEOs and their boards of directors who cave into the reparations shakedown? What are their motivations? One possibility is that they might fear that a principled stand telling the reparations hustlers to take a hike might cost them in terms of bad publicity and sales. The CEOs might guess their stockholders prefer dividends to principal. Another explanation which makes less sense is that CEOs actually feel guilty about their predecessors' tie to slavery from more than a century ago. For their guilt, I have a certificate of amnesty and pardon at my website that might help them. Walter, you gotta be, they're funny. Okay, I'm gonna go take a look at this during the break, this certificate of amnesty and pardon. There's a reparations agenda question that I would have to ask the mayors of Philadelphia and Chicago, who have laws that require companies seeking to do business with the city to do studies determining whether they had ties to slavery. Suppose it's the city's monopoly electric company which refuses to comply. Will the mayors tell them to keep their electricity and work in the dark? Maybe so. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we're glad you joined us this first day of August 2005 at Christian Worldview, right here on this station. And we'd like to check the weather for you real quick just to see what your day is going to be like.
Well, right now in Greenville-Spartanburg Airport area, it's 72 degrees. In downtown, it's 71 degrees. Anderson, 72 degrees. Clemson is going to be 73 degrees. Mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Patchy fog this morning and a chance of showers. Chance of rain today is going to be 30%.
Interesting weather as usual, especially the heat lately. I just have a hard time with some of the heat. I'll tell you what. When you're raised in the perfect climate, it's difficult to come out to these places where humidity is rampant. I know it's not so bad here. People always point to, well, it's worse in Columbia. Well, it's worse in Georgia. But it's worse in Mississippi. Well, it may be true, but it's still bad enough here. I'll tell you what. Well, here's another interesting story from Walter Williams. I like reading Walter Williams in general, by the way. He says, one of the results of the growth dependency on government is what Professor Marvin Olosky calls the charitable equivalent of Gresham's Law, where bad charities drive out good charities. Dependency on government also has the effect of reducing economic mobility among the poor. Benjamin Franklin had it right when he wrote, the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. Government dependency makes poverty easy, as Walter says, right on the money, as usual. Walter also had his proclamation of amnesty and pardon granted to all persons of European descent. Whereas, this is on his website, by the way, he mentioned that in the article we read before the top of the hour break. Whereas Europeans kept my forebears in bondage some 3 centuries, toiling without pay. Whereas Europeans ignored the human rights pledges of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. Whereas the Emancipation Proclamation, the 13th and 14th Amendments meant little more than empty words. Therefore, Americans of European ancestry are guilty of great crimes against my ancestors and their progeny. But in the recognition of Europeans themselves have been victims of various and sundry human rights violations, to wit, the Norman Conquest, the Irish Potato Famine, decline of the Habsburg Dynasty, Napoleonic and Tsarist adventurism, and gratuitous insults and speculations about the intelligence of Europeans of Polish descent. I, Walter Williams, do declare full and general amnesty and pardon to all persons of European ancestry for both their own grievances and those of their forebears against my people. Therefore, from this day forward, Americans of European ancestry can stand straight and proud, knowing they are without guilt, and thus obliged not to act like damn fools in their relationship with Americans of African ancestries. I'll have to screen a little better before I read certain things here. Sorry, folks. Anyway, Walter E. Williams, gracious and generous grantor. It says click here to print, return to the main page. I guess you can click that and print it on your wall. And put it on your wall. Here's some authorities arresting a man with New York City maps. Five men were detained in New Jersey, set to be deported. This happened last week, actually, on the 26th. Five Egyptian men with maps in the New York City subway system and the video of the New York's landmarks have been arrested by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Well, maybe they just want to look around. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are terrorists. What do we do when we have stuff like that? I guess if they come from the Middle East, you have to worry about it. Here's the South Carolina targeted for a Christian state story, a byline on ABC News, and you know this is about Christian Exodus. Christian Exodus has had so much, we won't read all these things. Christian Exodus has so much press lately. People are starting to pick on Christian Exodus if it's some kind of a cult or sect or a strange organization. It's really not. It has 1,000 members. There are people that simply want to move to South Carolina and do good for folks here by getting involved with the political process and start behaving like activist Christians. Doesn't mean that everybody in Christian Exodus agrees, that they walk in lockstep. We know here at the Tyranny Response Network a number of people from Christian Exodus. We think they're great people. There are those who are of libertarian persuasion, those who are constitutionalists. There are those who are really just barely one foot out of the Republican Party camp, and even would be friendly towards certain neocons. Who are on the right side of the neocon spectrum, like maybe Tony Beam, or who's on a radio show that just ended recently here a few minutes ago. The Festival of Ignorance was over. As well as people like George Bush, to some extent, I suppose. Well, maybe they wouldn't go that far, but nevertheless, it's a broad range of people who simply want to come here and be involved in America's future, in promoting the transformation of culture by application of Christian principles to every area of life. So there's nothing to be fearful about these people. They're not kooks. They have no doctrinal statement. They're not other than the basics that you have to be a Christian to be involved with them. But they have no requirements of some kind of membership in a church body. They are not a sect or a cult. They're simply Christian people who want to be involved in changing their world. It was very unfortunate to read in the Times Examiner, our great upstate newspaper, the Summit View Baptist fellow, criticizing Christian Exodus for doing things they should not be doing, such as trying to transform their culture. This is the legacy of dispensationalism, folks. Whenever you have a dispensational worldview, you have a worldview that's very different than a normal Christian worldview, because you're not actively trying to transform your culture. You're simply letting it go its own way, down the drain, getting worse and worse. As a Christian, you stand by simply preaching the gospel to people and souls, trying to catch them as the world goes on its merry way to hell. Indeed, that is the whole dispensational critique, and yet the dispensational critique is wrong. It's unbiblical. It's based on faulty understanding of the scriptures. At least I believe so. It's a Christian worldview that is perverted and twisted. And so I was sad to see some articles criticizing Christian Exodus even in the Times Examiner. Yeah, and of course they're getting press everywhere, folks. I mean, it's just not ABC News and GQ magazine and the local papers here. It's all over the place. People are starting to talk about Christian Exodus. We hope they continue to talk about it. It continues to grow. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20 and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Did you know the Tyranny Response Network is a volunteer organization where we rely on the efforts of great volunteers and important people in the community who want to get involved and stand behind us? Well, it is. We are not none of us at the Tyranny Response Network receive any salary. All of us donate our time because we believe the cause for truth is important, because we believe that transforming our world is important with the gospel and the ideas and principles that are found in the scriptures. And we hope you do as well. And if you'd like to be involved in any way with the Tyranny Response Network, we hope that you'll take the opportunity to simply send an email to the Tyranny Response staff, because Tyranny Response Network right now is looking for people to help with production and to help with various technical skills. If you know about radio, if you know about webcasting, if you know about networking, these are all skills which are needed for people who can donate a weekend a month or weekend a week, whatever it might be, whether it's a few hours or a lot of hours. Even if you can be called upon in the reserve to do some manual labor, we'd be of great interest. We even sometimes need to dig ditches and so forth. I'd be happy to hear from you. The TyrannyResponse.com website has a tab that says Contact. If you go there, and you'll see various people you can email. Just pick one of the folks, as long as it's not me, since I'm not in charge of these sorts of things. But even if you picked me, I'd forward it to the right place. But there are several other names there: Chuck, Brad, Mark. Send it to one of those folks, and they'll make sure that they get you in an appropriate position where you can be of great help and service to our cause here at the Tyranny Response Network. There are some places you might be able to give a call. You might try calling Chuck at 864-458-1981. That's 864-458-1981. Just leave a message for Chuck. If he doesn't answer, tell him you want to get involved and ask him what you can do to do so, especially if you have some technical background. The TyrannyResponse.com website and the TyrannyResponse.net website also has a related media tab, and if you scroll down to the bottom of the related media tab, you'll find there a link to a petition, the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, to save your private property and to declare that rights are inalienable to life, liberty, and property. We hope that you'll go and sign it. It'll just take you a few minutes to actually sign the petition. It doesn't take long at all, maybe even 30 seconds to do so. There have been 284 people who have signed it so far, and we'd encourage you to go and sign it as well. The South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to protect your private property. You can find it once again down on the related media tab on the TyrannyResponse.com website. Go there and make a difference, even a little difference, by signing the petition. Well, jihad is coming to the small town USA. This is posted on WorldNet Daily and written by Laura Mansfield. It happened again this week. I came out of the office to find a flyer under my windshield wipers inviting me to a special informational presentation on God and family values and how to bring them back to the forefront in America. I'm a parent, so the flyer caught my interest, but as an analyst for the Northeast Intelligence Network, my eyes were riveted to the address on the flyer. The session was being held at a nearby mosque. Curiosity got the better of me, and I decided it would be a good time for some on-site investigations of the mosque. In order to not attract undue attention, I dressed conservatively, wearing a navy jumper with a long-sleeve white blouse and low heels. I debated whether or not to put on a hijab, a headscarf, and then decided not to. After all, I was going to learn not to pretend I was a Muslim. I checked the mosque schedule on the web and discovered there was going to be an Arabic language session for an hour before, so I showed up an hour early. The inman met me at the door and told me that the presentation didn't start for an hour and suggested I come back in an hour. Fortunately, I anticipated this and explained that since I had quite a bit of reading to do for class I was taking, could I just sit here and read? He hesitated a moment, then agreed, and I sat back of the room with my book open and made a mental note to remember to turn the pages every so often as I listened to the speakers in Arabic. The first speaker was the head of the Muslim Students Association at a nearby university. Although I missed the beginning of the discussion, I caught up quickly. He was talking about the problems he had encountered on a recent trip when the TSA flagged him for extra screening. He joked about the fact that they had stopped him for extensive screening. He had anticipated that he would have screened, he would be screened and had filled his carry-on luggage with printouts of the Quran and the internet, and had 15 or 16 CDs labeled in Arabic, and had a notebook computer with him. As he expected, he was delayed. He thought it was very amusing that while several TSA personnel were scrutinizing his personal belongings, that his classmate from Jordan was able to walk through security along with his American girlfriend without any problems whatsoever. One of the men said, in Arabic, "Blonde Americans are good for something." Another man advised him to be cautious since there was an American woman in the room. The imam spoke up and told everyone, "I don't speak Arabic." At that point, another student took the podium. His name was Kaled, and he began to recount his recent trips to New York City. Kaled and three of his companions had gone to New York for several days in January. He told of how uncomfortable his trip to New York City had been. He felt like he was being watched, and he thought he was the victim of racial profiling. Kaled and his friends were pretty unhappy about it, and while in New York, they came up with a plan to teach a lesson to the passengers and crew. You can imagine the story Kaled told. He described how he and his friends whispered to each other right on the flight, made simultaneous visits to the restroom, and generally tried to spook the other passengers. He laughed when he described how several women were in tears, and one man sitting near him was praying. The others in the room thought the story was quite amusing, judging from the laughter. The imam stood up and told the group that it was this kind of peaceful civil disobedience that should be encouraged, and commended Kaled and his friends for their effort. He pointed out that though this kind of civil disobedience, that ethnic profiting would fail. One of the other men, Ahmed from Kuwait, gave a brief account of his friend Iyad, who had finally gone to Iraq. Ahmed was in email contact with Iyad. He hoped that the following week to be able to bring them more information about the state of the Mujahideen in Iraq. As the meeting drew to a close, the imam gave a brief speech calling for protection of Allah to the Mujahideen fighting for Islam throughout the world, and reminded everyone that it was their duty as Muslims to continue the path of jihad, whether it was simple efforts like those Kaled and his friend of Kaled or whatever it is, and his friends, or his actual physical fighting men of the like the Iyad. As the meeting broke up, several women in hijabs came from the room, and two of them sat with me. They were very warm and friendly and welcoming, and appeared to be clearly thrilled that I was there. They asked my questions about who I was and why I was interested in the session. By the time the session began, there were half a dozen American women, four of them African-American, where the previous session had definite anti-American Tories, or tones. This session was all American and apple pie. The earlier session had been in Arabic. This one was in English. The woman leading the session, Nafisa, told the concerns she had regarding her daughters in the public school system. She complained about the influence of the MTV culture, and she seemed concerned about the rampant sexuality that pervaded all facets of American lives, from television to movies and in the school system. She explained her personal situation, the local Islamic school beginning with kindergarten, Instead of worrying about her daughters dressing provocatively and behaving inappropriately with boys, she talked about the modest school uniforms they wore and the single-gender classes her daughters attended. She then pretended to discuss Islam, focusing on the commonalities it has with Christianity. The sales pitch had clearly begun. While in the previous section, the men were quoted over and over again, surah from the Quran, calling for violent jihad, the women's session had focused on the gentler side of Islam. The same imam who demanded the men continue in the path of jihad did a complete 180-degree turn in this session, stressing instead the surahs that promoted the brotherhood between Muslims, Christians, and Jews. After all, we worship the same God and follow the teachings of the books he gave each of us. We are all the same. We are people of the book, he stressed. The differences between sessions were striking. Clearly, the session was a recruiting session. Were the women aware of what was being taught in the first session? Clearly, those women who spoke Arabic should have been. The reason for her concern is obvious. Two different doctrines are being promoted. One peaceful, friendly, warm, and fuzzy doctrine you can use to draw people in with a focus of well-being on their children. But Arabic-speaking sessions clearly have anti-American tone. It shows clearly that as much as we'd like to pretend it hasn't. Jihad has reached small-town USA. This mosque isn't in Washington, D.C. or New York City. This is a small mosque in a town in the deep south. And if it's in this tiny little quiet town, it's probably in your hometown, too. And that's Laura Mansfield, a freelance writer on Middle East issues. Appreciate that insight. We always have known that Islam is a bloodthirsty, horrible regime. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Here's a new article by Robert Parker, and he says, American public schools can be described in only one way, an unmitigated failure. The government has created an educational system free of the checks and balances that normally guide success and encourage innovation in the marketplace, namely profit, and less in a setting of open competition. Actually, they are an unmitigated success when you think of the destruction of the Christian worldview, the expansion of immorality, of alternative lifestyles and the environmentalist movement, the advancement of the homosexual agenda in America, and the advancement of the ideas, the promulgation of the spurious ideas of Darwin, Marx, and a few others, sultry characters. Well, I have to say it's an unmitigated success. There's been nothing more destructive to the Christian worldview than the public school. And although it's been a failure in terms of educating people, I'll have to agree there, as far as the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic and so forth, it's been fabulously successful in other areas, and I think the left is highly applauding the public school system. Voucher, Solution or Flawed Compromise. This is Robert Parker's article about the whole voucher idea, and using it instead of a tax credit or something else for public schooling as an alternative, so you get people to go to private schools. In fact, I just listened to Inez Tenenbaum at my Rotary Club meeting here. Inez Tenenbaum was running in the race against Jim DeMint as a Democrat for U.S. Senate last time. Turns out that Jim DeMint is just quite liberal himself, as his recent votes on property rights and CAFTA have shown. But at any rate, Inez Tenenbaum started talking about the Put Parents in Charge Act, which I very much opposed because it was a socialist agenda with all sorts of strings attached to getting a little bit of money through a tax credit. She started talking about PPIC, that's the Put Parent in Charge Act, being a voucher system. Well, she was lying. I mean, it wasn't a voucher thing. There's no question about it. It was not a voucher. It was a tax credit. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, a tax credit, if you've got a kid in a private school or in homeschool, you just take the money off of your property tax bill. It's a direct credit to you. With a voucher, you have to comply with certain government regulations in order to get a voucher sent to you, and when the voucher is sent to you, you can then employ it in, wherever the government deems it's appropriate, it can be employed, and so there's some regulatory strings attached. It's not the same thing. Anyway, here's what he says quickly. Robert Parker, American public schools can be described in one way, unmitigated failure. We read that just recently. He says the voucher plan, theoretically, the government would be a silent third party to the transaction, merely issuing vouchers instead of to be used as payments. Unfortunately, proponents of the voucher fail to fully understand that government involvement, which has been so destructive of education, would continue with the voucher plan. Even a cursory examination of the reality of government American politics exposes the one inevitable truth. Whatever government pays for, it ends up controlling. Hillsdale College is a small liberal arts institution in Michigan that has been admitting and graduating women, blacks, and other minority students on an equal basis with white men since before the Civil War. That, for those who don't understand that term, it means the War of Northern Aggression. The college was never accused of or shown to have discriminated because of race or gender in its entire history. But in the 1970s, the government decreed that because Hillsdale accepted students receiving federal aid, it must comply with all federal regulations, including anti-discrimination laws. Hillsdale argued that since government money went to students and not directly to college, it should not be subject to the regulation. The Supreme Court disagreed, holding that any college student which accepts students who bring along federal dollars must follow the government's rules. What was especially disturbing about the court's ruling is that even without evidence of discrimination, student aid could be terminated if the school failed to abide by federal guidelines concerning student admissions and anti-discrimination campus policies. So that's why they basically just said, no, you can't come here if you're going to accept any kind of government aid. Although appearing to be a free market solution, the voucher system could actually destroy any real alternative to the public schools, which is what we're really after. Like it or not, it should never be forgotten that every government dollar comes with strings attached, and we agree wholeheartedly here. We are very concerned about vouchers or any other kinds of so-called tax credit programs that come with huge strings attached to them that promote liberal agendas. You have been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just in case you're still on the road here on your way to work, we want to give you an update on the weather.
Right now in Greenville Spartanburg Airport area, it's 72 degrees. Downtown, it's 71 degrees. Anderson, 72. Clemson, 73. Mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Patchy fog this morning and a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And humid with the highs in the mid-80s. Chance of rain is 30%.
Don't forget the Carolina Patriots meeting this Saturday at 12:30 at the Prime Sirloin across from the Greenville Mall on Woodruff Road in Greenville. Not a whole lot of other events that I know about going on this week, except for the Uncommon Dissent Forum on scientists who find Darwinism unconvincing. Hope you can attend that as well. If you want information about that conference, call 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. I'm trying to catch up through to a few of the articles that people have sent me here on the from the Tyranny Response Network research staff. So some of these are a little bit dated, but I think have some excellent points. For instance, Paul Craig Roberts' article, Bush's War Against Iraq is Ruining America. That's Bush's War Against Iraq is Ruining America. Skipping down through the article, he says, the world press sees Bush as an arrogant hypocrite who justifies his invasion of Iraq in the name of democracy while protecting Uzbek's murderous dictatorship, Islam Karimov. Described by Craig Murray, former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, as very much George Bush's man in Central Asia. On May 13th, Karimov had 500 protesters shot down in the streets of Andijan and 200 massacred in Paktabad. Still more civilians were massacred by Karimov while attempting to flee into neighboring Kyrgyzstan. Uzbekistan also serves as one of the Bush administration's offshore torture centers, which to which suspected terrorists are sent. Bush warned UK Prime Minister Tony Blair earlier this month that war-torn Iraq remains on the brink of disaster. Everyone except the deceived American people know that the U.S. lacks the combat troops to continue the war it is losing in Iraq. That's what Paul Craig Roberts says. Here's the assault on free choice. Now, this is 25 years old, and yet talking about corporate profits. Another area of the role, and this is written by Roger Ream, by the way, the assault on free choice by Roger Ream. He says, another area where the role of free choice is often overlooked concerns profits in a market. Profit and loss derive from consumers exercising their free choice. The consumer is sovereign. He decides whether to buy Chrysler or a Toyota, to purchase from Mobil, Exxon, or Shell, or take a bus to work, etc. Freedom of choice is important. He says, a little bit further on, it's important that we respect the freedom of choice principle. Governments whose proper role is to defend this concept have far too often been the violator of it. The idea that people will be better off if their freedom to choose is restricted is absurd. It leads to the tyranny of 1984 and Brave New World, as Aldous Huxley warned in the latter book. Government has, by clubs and firing squads, by artificial famine, mass imprisonment, and mass deportation, is not merely inhumane, it is demonstrably inefficient. A really totalitarian state would be one in which the all-power executive or political bosses and their army of managers control the population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. And nowadays, when you have high school students being polled and saying, we have too much liberty, we need to give some of it back to the government, it makes you think that Aldous Huxley's prediction is right on the money. And here again is LouRockwell.com, Charles H. Featherstone writing, it's all about private property. He says it's all about private property, and he's absolutely right. It is all about private property, Charles Featherstone. Compliant, I'm going to skip down just to a point later on in his article. He says companies from countries where a similar investment is difficult or banned outright, Saudi Aramco owns, along with Royal Dutch Shell, Motiva Enterprises, one of the largest refiners in the United States. Yet upstream investment by foreign firms in Saudi Arabia is banned, though investment in refining and petrochemicals is not. Venezuelan state-owned Petróleos de Venezuela, PDVSA, owns Citgo, one of the company's most profitable endeavors. Yet the Venezuelan government has, over the last year, tightened the screws on foreign upstream investment, unilaterally abolishing contracts, changing laws, and levying taxes, making the place much less inviting for even state-owned firms. State-owned Petróleos Mexicanos, Pemex, jointly owns Deer Park Refining, one of the largest refineries with the U.S., with Royal Dutch Shell, and yet the Mexican Constitution bans outright foreign ownership of hydrocarbons, making it impossible for Yankees to wander around Mexico drilling for oil or gas. All of these state-owned firms have something in common. None of them are major international firms. Aramco focuses entirely on poking holes in Saudi Arabia, although it sees markets for crude. It is more than happy to develop those markets. Same with Pemex and PDVSA when it comes to their respective home countries. The writer also suggests the CNOOC is in no way accountable to the market. True, the company can rely heavily, though entirely, on state coffers of support. It does not have to sell its debt on the open market to potential buyers. And they're talking about the Unocal buyout by the Chinese company. Force can only bolster fiction for so long. Eventually, the bills come due and they must be paid. And he's saying, but suppose the CNOOC or the other Chinese majors, or Hutchison Whampoa, which owns a controlling stake in Canada's Husky Oil, decided to buy a smaller company more integral to U.S. domestic production, like Anarctil or Occidental. Would it mean it's okay suddenly to block the sale to make sure that the Chinese government, through a state firm, does not become the largest landowner in the Permian Basin or the Gulf of Mexico? No, because there's still another matter of principle. Exactly when did Unocal become public property? More importantly, when did our liberty become contingent on liberty elsewhere? When did the right of a Unocal shareholder, an American or not, to sell his shares to wherever he or she wants become completely dependent on whether some other potential shareholder can buy the stock from Inpetro China, Sinopec, or CNOOC? What kind of liberty is this? It's not much. He says, the kind of liberty it really is government liberty. The worldview is collectivist and statist. It thinks that governments and nations first and the individual third, perhaps a distant third. Boeing could not survive without a Pentagon feeding tube, squandering billions of tax dollars and resources on pointlessly lethal products that only the government are eager to develop and buy. If national defense becomes the measure by which the state can justify the seizure of anyone's property, there is no private property anymore, and this is indeed a grave problem. Appreciate Charles Featherstone bringing up these quick points to us. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. We're going to take a rather long break right now as we want you to listen to the Bill of Rights and think about private property and its importance. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coburn. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And speaking about being afflicted, the FDA on July 20th, a little bit old now, issued a warning about the abortion pill. Washington, the government warned doctors Tuesday to be on the lookout for rare but deadly infections in women using the abortion pill RU-46, citing two more deaths after its use. At least five U.S. women have died after taking the pill since it began selling in 2000. Although the Food and Drug Administration stressed that it could not prove the drug was to blame, but the four deaths caused by bloodstream infections or sepsis all occurred in women who didn't follow FDA-approved instructions for pill-triggered abortion, said an agency drug chief, Dr. Stephen Galeson. Related story is that the RU-486 kills five women. The five women who took the abortion pill and RU-486 have died from bacterial infections since its U.S. introduction nearly 5 years ago. The manufacturer reported Monday. Danco said it was sending a letter to alert physicians about the cases and updating warning information on the drug's label posted on July 20th. Anything Danco does should be suspect, of course, and anybody in the murder industry has to be held suspect. Can you imagine? I mean, standing before God for anyone's sins is bad enough, but to stand before God one day and give account for the fact that you assisted women in murdering children like this, unborn human beings, maybe not full-fledged children yet, not fully developed, but yet murdering people. What a horrible thing. What a terrible thing it is. And now some women apparently are paying the price for taking the pill. And you feel sorry for it. Anybody who dies, you feel badly for them, because it's terrible that someone would die, even someone dies in the midst of their sin, but there is a consequence. God will not be mocked, according to Galatians chapter 6. Whatever a man sows or a woman sows, that will she also reap. And that's indeed what we've seen here. Well, here's Government Licensing, the enemy of Employment by Stephen Yates. Stephen Yates, a good friend of the Tyranny Response Network. In fact, part of our Friday club meeting, which I call it a club meeting. Every Friday afternoon, we eat lunch at about 1:30 on down at the Four Seasons Restaurant in Malden. Anybody who is invited to attend who just wants to listen and talk about public policy issues, if you're a Christian, want to promote the Christian worldview. The Stephen Yates was complaining in 1996 in the Freeman about government licensing, the enemy of employment. And he goes through and talks about various types of trying to get a job through different agencies and so forth, and found out that he doesn't have the right kind of certifications. He can't get a job. There's a critical shortage of teachers in certain subjects such as mathematics, the sciences, and foreign languages, and Teacher Certification Division developed a critical needs certifications program. Since the purpose of that program is to get teachers into the classrooms quicker, I initially opted to pursue it, thinking I could be teaching in less than a year. Wrong again. Despite the science and math on my transcript and my evident ability to research topics quickly, the teaching of any of these areas required at least a bachelor's degree as well as a passing score in the equivalent national teacher's examination. My degree was in philosophy, thus my 17-plus years of university-level teaching experience was meaningless. Even with a math degree, though, the most I could have gotten was 1 year of conditional certification, crazy as it may be. Of course, he has a Ph.D. and a master's degree in health and public administration, or health administration, whatever it is, public health administration. Cannot teach, could not be able to begin to teach in the public school. Of course, we're glad that he's not doing that. We hate to see anybody fall into sin, as he would be doing if he were teaching the public school, but his point is not that how much he loves teaching in public schools, but how difficult it is to actually get a job in the public school because of licensing requirements. And it's not just licensing at the public school, it's everywhere that licensing is required that it causes unemployment and grief. He says the solution is obvious. Get rid of government licenses. Get rid of the bureaucrats. Get them out of the educational system and sell the schools to private educational entrepreneurs to run as businesses. There is no danger that getting rid of government licensure in education will permit a flood of incompetent teachers into the classroom, for individual schools will have to compete for the best teachers and the best pupils. Reputation spread. Poor teachers will have to pursue other lines of work, and inefficient institutions will soon be out of business. Schools can administer tests and identify their own criteria for determining who is best, but there won't be room for a bureaucratic decision. Thus, not only will there be attainable teaching jobs, but the quality of education will go up across the board. So will salaries. Schools will have to offer teachers wages at market rates in order to attract the best, with salaries increasing at those areas of undersupply. Also, fewer administrators and less overhead will mean more money for teachers and their immediate needs. Instruction will proceed without the need to jump through bureaucratic hoops. Most of this is probably obvious as much as common knowledge. Just remember, though, this is just one occupation. Today, most occupations are licensed, regulated, and ultimately controlled by the ever-present state. In some cases, the price tag of admission to the club is many times higher than it is for teaching. That gives us a ready explanation for why entrepreneurship is so difficult in today's society and why so many people want to work cannot find jobs. The question is, when are we going to do something about it? Great article. Thought we'd bring that up, and I appreciate the research staff actually finding that article from Dr. Stephen Yates. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including yours truly, Dr. John Coben, as well as Dr. Stephen Yates, who we were just reading recently, and other upstate favorites like Ben Graydon. It also has some nationally syndicated columnists like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell, Marvin Olasky, Joe Sobran, and Charlie Reese. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, and private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. Subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. It's well worth the dollar or so, 50 cents a week or whatever it costs now, to get this sent to your home. 864-268-0576, the phone number. Also, if you can support the Times Examiner by placing an ad in there for your business, please do so. We'd encourage you to do so. You can call David specifically at 859-6817. Ask for David, 859-6817 in the 864 area code. Well, here is some more great stuff. Why not end the show on the whole subject of conspiracy theory? It's always a Monday. Mondays are slow days for Christian Worldview. We're glad you've joined us this morning. Hope we're making you think a little bit deeper and a little bit better, catching you up on some of the important events and notices going out from a Christian worldview perspective. Here is the three claims from, and this is from the source of the private contract service, whatever that is. Claim number one, the United States is no longer a country. It is a corporation. The United States of America is a corporation endowed with the capacity to sue and be sued, to convey and receive property. One Marsh Decisions 177, 1981, or 1781. I think. Well, anyway, it's proper to observe that no suit can be brought against the United States without the authority of law. Bouvier's Law Dictionary, the 5th edition of the United States. An established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act of March 9th, 1933, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent through House Joint Resolution 192 in the 73rd Congress session, June 5th of 1933, the joint resolution suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, dissolve the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all the United States governmental offices, officers, and departments, and as further evidence, the United States federal government exists today only in name only. That's a direct quotation from the United States Congressional Record of March 17th, 1993, Volume 33. So they give several proofs for why this is all true. One is that they use proof A, the United States defined. Few Americans realize that there are three definitions for the United States. Most have been misled to believe the term United States has a single meaning, a generic term referring to the country as a whole. The second definition uses United States as the District of Columbia has its own citizens, which United States versus Cruikshank says in that decision, 92 U.S. 542, who are generally referred to as United States citizens. The yellow fringed flag signifying this jurisdiction is not for decorative purposes. It signifies the jurisdiction of the district, also known as a corporate U.S. federal, that has been extended to the Union States by the 14th Amendment. Proof B, he says, is the Legislative Act of February 21, 1871, the 41st Congress, Session 3, Chapter 62, page 419, Congress chartered a federal company entitled the United States, also known as the U.S. Incorporated, a commercial agency originally designated as Washington, D.C., in accordance with the 14th Amendment, as the record indicates, never ratified. Interesting. Proof C, there are no judicial courts in America, and there have not been since 1789. Judges do not enforce United States statutes and codes, and the executive administrators enforce statutes and codes instead. And it gives some cases to prove that. Then he also has some other claims, like the United States is bankrupt. And they use a quotation from Representative James Traficant from Ohio addressing the House. He gives several proofs for that. And in fact, there are a lot of proofs. Looks like he has about 13 or 14. Let's see. Is there something else here before we move on here to the end of the show? I think not. Well, yeah, bankruptcy of the state. He's just trying to show, they're trying to show historically how there are many things to demonstrate the United States is not the limited constitutional government set up by the founding fathers. Interesting to reflect on this stuff. Too much to read here, especially at the end of the show. We've been glad to have you join us this morning for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope to see you again tomorrow morning, bright and early, where we help you think better on the Christian Worldview program. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.